This past Sunday, Israel's Defense Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, Benny Gantz, travelled to Ramallah on the West Bank and met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. It was President Abbas's first official meeting with a senior Israeli politician in more than a decade. Was this, perhaps, a transcendent diplomatic breakthrough, a first step towards a just and lasting peace between Israel and Palestine, a tantalizing glimmer of a bright dawn of coexistence and cooperation? The short answer is no. The longer answer, hopefully at least long enough to pad out the rest of this explainer, is roughly as follows. For a start, describing Mahmoud Abbas as Palestinian president, while technically accurate since 2005, is practically vaguely ridiculous. Even at his best, Abbas has been effectively president only of the West Bank, which is more or less governed by Abbas's faction, Fatah. For the last decade and a half, Palestine's other patch, Gaza, has been controlled by the Islamist militant organization Hamas, who might just about hate Israel more than they loathe Fatah, but you would not want to try living on the difference. And Abbas is long past his best. He is 85 years old and has not attempted to renew his mandate since being elected. He is now 16 years into a four-year term. This becalming of Palestinian democracy is not entirely his fault. It is one of many symptoms of the standoff between Fatah and Hamas, but Abbas occupies the office he occupies, so it is entirely his responsibility. And Abbas generally has cut an unimpressive figure since skulking out of the shadow of Palestine's irrepressible salesman Yasser Arafat. Abbas is unpopular and widely perceived as inept and corrupt. Few Palestinians have failed to notice the fabulous wealth accrued by his sons.
There's a whole mountain of corruption, exclusivity, coordination, ignoring legitimacy and ending all the democratically elected references of the Palestinian people. Therefore, we want the dissolution of the government and elections through which the people will re-choose their leadership that expresses them. And other than that, it has no value.
Abbas's visitor certainly did not feel the need to hit any tone more lofty than pragmatism laced with indifference. The stronger the Palestinian Authority is, the weaker Hamas will be, Benny Gantz told reporters, and the greater its ability to govern is, the more security we'll have and the less we'll have to do. To that end, Gantz brought an offer of a loan worth about $155 million from Israel to the Palestinian Authority. This will be advanced against the taxes Israel collects on the Palestinian Authority's behalf. Gantz also said Israel would recognize thousands of Palestinian residents of the West Bank currently without proper documentation and grant Israeli work permits and West Bank building permits to others. All of which is more than nothing, but kind of sounds more like an email than a meeting. So, why did Gantz go? There are a few reasons for this. Israel's newish Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, recently visited the White House and got an earful from US President Joe Biden about a two-state solution. So sending Gantz to Ramallah is a signal that Bennett may be less stubborn than his predecessor, Benjamin Netanyahu, although Israeli sources have been careful to stress that there is not currently a diplomatic process with Palestine and that there isn't going to be one, don't get any ideas, etc. There is a domestic angle as well. Bennett's governing coalition has a wafer-thin majority in the Knesset, reliant in part on the left-wing two-staters of the Meretz Party and the Israeli Arabs of the United Arab List. Bennett has to give them something, however little Bennett personally might prefer it to be. Also, Gantz is doubtless positioning himself. A former general and chief of the general staff of the Israel Defense Forces, he now leads the centrist, liberalish blue and white party and clearly fancies being prime minister one day. More cynically, it will have occurred to Israel that any cooperation with them by Abbas further fractures Palestine. And indeed, since the meeting, Abbas's domestic opponents have leapt at the bait. Both Hamas and Islamic Jihad have issued characteristically thunderous denunciations, accusing Abbas of, quote, betraying the blood of the martyrs, unquote, and so forth. We are then away from handshakes in the White House Rose Garden and Nobel Prizes all round. From Israel's perspective, Naftali Bennett has previously and gracelessly compared the Palestinian issue as equivalent to shrapnel in the buttocks, i.e. painful but manageable. As for Palestine, it is isolated by the Arab world's waning interest in an ossified conflict and by the obduracy of Hamas et al., who, in the common manner of revolutionary zealots, remain keener on vainglorious violence than constructive solutions. The miserable reality, as things stand, is that where peace is concerned, Israel's leadership doesn't need it, and Palestine's leadership doesn't want it. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.